Fringe tree is a cholagogue or a choleretic. It's something that actually inspires the liver to create more bile and then inspires the gallbladder to release that bile. So it enhances your digestive power.
Behind an unassuming olive green storefront, something unusual is brewing. Actually, dozens of things are brewing. Rows of mysterious dark brown glass bottles line one of the walls, each containing tinctures handcrafted by herbalist Olivia June Fite.
Motherwort, also known as Leonoris cardiaca, lionheart. This is a wonderful herb for people who are really trying to hold it together, but their stress is overwhelming. That is comfrey. It's the dried root, and it's used for healing broken bones. So it's used externally. You would apply it topically. One of my favorites, skullcap, Scutellaria latiflora. It's what we call a nervine, and it's good for relaxing the nervous system, particularly for those who have tension in their muscular skeletal systems.
Fite has been studying herbal medicine for 5 years. She's a graduate of the Taya Sophia Institute, recently renamed the Maryland University of Integrative Health. It's the only university on earth that offers an accredited master's degree in the field of Western herbalism. After graduating, Fite opened up the O Herbals Apothecary on Pratt Street in Baltimore's Upper Fells Point neighborhood. When you walk in, what you see is essentially a large functional kitchen. Wide wood counters, cabinets, sink, stove, oven, with a sort of breakfast bar where clients can sit down for a clinical consultation.
It's a space that basically I created to have people come in and really check in with themselves and also gain access to this whole world that is at our fingertips, but so few of us know about. And that's the world of herbal medicine.
Radio listeners will have to take my word for it that it smells really amazing in here. There is some great amount of sage, I believe, and about 100 other things probably backing up that scent.
Yeah, I refilled my jars last night before you came, so that always produces an interesting cacophony of smells. So there's a little bit of valerian root, which is kind of stinky, and then there's elderberry, which is a little bit fruity and earthy, and then the sage kind of gives it a nice welcoming flavor.
In addition to the dozens of bottled tinctures and powders, there are about 125 different cut and sifted herbs on hand here at O Herbals Apothecary. They're sorted, sealed up in mason jars and plastic bags, and stored alphabetically in what looks like a jumbo-sized card catalog filing cabinet. That's to protect them from the degrading effects of light and air. The bags and jars have exotic labels like holy basil and burdock root. But if you look long enough, you will find some familiar names.
Humulus lupulus, which is the Latin name for hops. It grows on a vine, and it's not quite a flower. It's what they call a strobile. And this is one of the ingredients used in beer making. It's also a wonderful...
A popular tincture.
Yeah, a popular tincture, exactly. So humulus lupulus, or hops, is used medicinally as a sedative or a hypnotic. So for someone who would be having a hard time falling asleep at night, traditionally they would also make hops pillows. So you would just add some of this into a cloth and stuff it in your pillowcase. You can smell it if you like.
Smells like, well, to be honest with you, it smells like stale beer.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just beautiful. I mean, the color of it is gorgeous. It has this beautiful pattern. This is bitter orange peel. I just made a tincture of this actually last night, which I wanted to bring out and show you. It's so beautiful. Bitter orange peel, I mixed it with vodka and grain alcohol. And look at that color. It's just amazing. So this is an aromatic bitter, something that inspires the secretion of your digestive juices in your gut. And you would take it 20 minutes before eating. It also helps kind of prime your pancreas. So it's a wonderful preventative aid for if you're trying to ward off type 2 diabetes, Do you want to smell it?
Sure. It is beautiful. It's a sort of an orangish brown rust color, and all of the dried orange peel has sort of expanded. It smells refreshing.
Don't you want to drink that?
Kind of. It's a little early, Olivia, but I am tempted.
See, you would just take just a touch of that and put it on your tongue, and it just primes your whole digestive process before eating.
Olivia Feit says her love of botanicals started when she was working as a sculptor. She was inspired by the beauty of plants like milkweed and lilies. Eventually, she found her way into reading about the medical properties of flowers and herbs and roots. She started using them for her own wellness, and the experience opened her eyes to a whole realm of knowledge that was as useful as it was accessible.
And I got this burning feeling, like I felt like my hair was on fire, and I just said, I have to learn as much as I can learn about this, and I have to tell other people about it.
So she went to school to become an herbalist. Her program at the Maryland Institute of Integrative Health was, in a word, rigorous. More than 1,000 hours of class time and 250 hours of supervised clinical experience over a 3-year period. Her master's degree is built on 84 graduate level credits. To put things in perspective, you can get a typical master's degree with less than half that many credits.
We studied phytochemistry, botany, and then we also did biomedical classes. So that's physiology, anatomy, pathophysiology. And really, it was about bringing together the wealth of knowledge that we have from modern medicine, and then also this ancient knowledge of plant medicine and healing perspectives, that everything is connected and there's cycles and rhythms, and that we have this very deep connection to the earth. So it's kind of bringing that perspective of deep connection to everything.
All that being said, Feit is not a licensed medical provider. Insurance doesn't cover her services, and doctors can't write referrals to her. Some in the established medical community may be skeptical about what she does, but she says doctors are being trained in the benefits of alternative modalities of treatment. If you need to go to a hospital, you go to a hospital. That's common sense. But after a hospital visit, when it's time to think about how to keep from ending up back in there again, that's when Feit says it might make sense for someone to look into a specialist, like a nutritionist or an acupuncturist or an herbalist.
A lot of times there are these drastic protocols in the hospital setting, but there's not enough time and space for healing to happen beyond the quick fix. So people are very hungry for that space.
So, Olivia, when I arranged to come by here, I happened to mention to you that all of my cubicle mates were sick, and that I was worried I was going to get sick. You took that in mind, and you've prepared something. We're over here at your stove, and there's some kind of a very dark indigo tea sort of a thing you're about to pour into a cup here. What is this?
So this is some elderberry and ginger tea that I just whipped up. Elderberry syrup is a common herb that's given for coughs and colds and flus. It's full of antiviral properties, immune-enhancing properties, and it's a berry of a bush or a small tree that grows in this area. So I actually harvested some of these right outside of the Mount Vernon Whole Foods.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, that must be an interesting part of your job. Do you go out and procure a certain percentage of these things yourself with your own hands?
Well, the things that I wildcraft in the city, I'll use for myself or friends or family, but I don't use them with clients because they're not certified organic. I do wildcraft some things like the elderberries and plantago, or plantain leaf is something that I go gather in Patterson Park every spring, and then I make a topical solution. It's really great for bug bites.
All right, I'm going to have a sip of this tea here. Oh, it tastes powerful. It tastes like it's going to do something. I'll be curious to know exactly what that is.
I'm going to make sure you're gonna have a cup not too bad. Oh, that's very strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can imagine, though, if you added sugar and made it more like a syrup, it'd be really delicious.
Mm-hmm. So an important part, obviously, of your craft is tasting the result, that your taste buds, I imagine, tell you things that no textbook could tell you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And that's the other amazing thing about studying herbal medicine, is one of the ways that we would study it is actually by passing around the tincture of whatever herb we were learning about and putting a couple of drops of that on our tongue and then feeling what happened in the body. And it's amazing how much information you can get just from that. I was having some linden tea the other day, which is a remedy for heart palpitations and also for upper GI disorders. And when I drank it, I felt in my chest this opening and this relaxing. And it was amazing. And I could have learned what it was good for if I hadn't already read it in a book just by drinking it.
From WYPR in Baltimore, this is The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin, on site at the apothecary of herbalist Olivia June Feight. We're talking about all of these amazing tinctures, powders, and crushed herbs that Olivia uses to treat clients who come in for consultations on general wellness and specific ailments and everything in between. And now we're going to sort of convert into kind of like herbal cooking show mode. You've got this great butcher's block in your kitchen. You've got all sorts of colorful herbs laid out here. And so let me turn the mic over to you, and we'll talk about what you're going to prepare today.
I thought it would be fun for us to make a cordial. I've been wanting to make one anyway. So a cordial is basically an alcohol extract of a blend of herbs, and you add fruit to it, and you let it sit in a dark, cool place for a month, and then you strain it, and you add some kind of sweetener. You can use honey or sugar or maple syrup. And I thought it would be fun to make a love potion. So this is one of my favorite cordials to make, but I've never made it with cherries. So I got some frozen cherries today at the store, and I thought we could use those.
Now, I know the term cordial from my grandfather, who I think didn't probably take this much care in preparing one, and he certainly didn't wait a month before he drank it. but it did include brandy, if I'm not mistaken. What's happening next?
So I muddled some cherries, and now I'm going to add some damiana, which is an aphrodisiac herb. It's also considered a nervine, so it has stress-reducing qualities to it. I'm putting in about 3 tablespoons, and I put in about 1 cup of frozen cherries. You can use fresh, too, if they're in season. And then I'm also going to add about 1/2 cup of crushed, dried rose petals.
What are the rose petals known to do, other than look pretty?
Oh, well, they smell great. They're also mildly astringent, which is great for the digestive system because it keeps the gut really tight. They're also just really good energetically for the heart. Rose is a remedy for the heart and kind of inspires that opening up of the heart.
There's a lot of implicit poetry and a certain aesthetic satisfaction that comes with this kind of work, isn't there?
Oh, it's very sensual, yeah. And that's one of the reasons I love it. I mean, it is an art form in addition to being a science. And then we're going to add a few cardamom pods.
You're doing this with a mortar and pestle?
Yes. Cardamom is one of my favorite herbs, and I used it in my logo for my company, O Herbals, because it's so versatile and so effective and so accessible and so delicious. So cardamom is what we would call a carminative, something that helps reduce spasms in the digestive tract and also reduce gas. And it's also just so aromatic and delicious.
I should say, as you were just explaining the cardamom, you poured a formidable amount of brandy into this mason jar that has all these herbs in it, and now you're stirring it up. It looks like a very dense mojito or something.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And it smells powerful. It smells potent.
So its smell will change as it brews in here over the course of the next 30 days. I don't know if I'll be able to wait that long, like your grandfather.
What an interesting combination of cuisine and medicine. And I guess before we became ultra modern and over medicalized as a society, those things weren't so indistinguishable.
Definitely. And also before we had transportation, you can think about what it would have been like living in North Dakota before penicillin, you had to know how to use what was accessible to you, or else you died or you suffered. You know, thankfully, we don't have to do that now, but let's not forget that these things are still there and they can add so much to our lives. Beauty, sensuality, medicine, it contains all of it. And it's so accessible, too. I mean, that's the thing about herbal medicine. It just makes sense.
Olivia Feit, visiting with us at her storefront apothecary, O Herbals, on the corner of Pratt and Wolf Street in Baltimore's Upper Fells Point neighborhood. You can find her online at oherbalmedicine.com. That's O-H-E-R-B-A-L medicine.com.